Hello, beautiful souls, and welcome to the Manifesting Money Podcast.
My name's Anita Aguilar.
I am your host, as well as a money mindset coach, a manifesting expert, and so are you, and I'm going to show you how, and the CEO of a multi-million dollar company teaching manifestation. This podcast's purpose is to bring massive consciousness around the world of money manifestation, and we want to share our stories to truly help you understand that money is just energy. It's an unlimited resource that you can tap into at any given point in time. The way that you feel about money is how it shows up for you. So if you have the limiting belief that you have to work super hard for money, this podcast is for you. I'm going to be sharing the things that I personally learned the hard way, but I'm also going to be sharing tips, tricks, strategies, and stories of those who truly healed their relationships with money and have mastered attracting abundance. Now, without further ado, let's get right to it. Hello, beautiful souls. Welcome back to the Manifesting Money Podcast. So I've been reading the book, 8 Rules of Love, and I've been telling each and every one of you about it because I really, really love it. And the first chapter is all about just being in solitude, being alone. And I spent a whole entire week just in silence with myself. So I didn't listen to any podcasts, and I didn't listen to any music, and I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't realize like how like beep, 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 boop, 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 like noisy I am. Oh my goodness. Don't get me wrong, I love myself and I'm learning about myself, but I was like, oh my goodness. And it just made me laugh really hard. And I believe that we talk about that book in this podcast episode. Another thing I want to point out before we get started is that somebody messaged me and they said, Anita, that was Venus Williams, not Serena. And I was like, oh my goodness. I am so ashamed and embarrassed. But at the same time, I don't know if I'm going to go back and change the recording. So I'm just making it right here. That was Venus Williams, not Serena Williams, that I shared in my last podcast episode with an audio talking all about self-discipline. So if you haven't already heard that episode, go and listen, and also make the mental reminder that it's Venus Williams, not Serena Williams. And this is actually segueing into our testimony for the week. So if you're new here, welcome, welcome, welcome. If you are a long-term listener, welcome back. But every single week, I love to share testimonies that you all send me. And the same person who notified me that that was Venus Williams instead of Serena Williams sent me a testimony, and I haven't read it yet because I wanted to read it live in person here. So let's go. So this is from Kamisha Bins, and her handle on Instagram is The Bins Law Firm. Oh, okay, baddie, I see you. And she sent me a message saying, hey, I had to share this with you. Manifestation at its finest. In tomorrow's episode of the Reinvent Yourself with Dara, I interviewed an incredible singer, Chanel Haynes, who has been playing Tina Turner in the West End. She has sung with the likes of Beyonce, Aretha Franklin, and recently the Rolling Stones. She has been manifesting success, love, and her family her whole life, and after reading The Source, fell in love with the science behind it. I can't wait for you to hear this episode. Oh, that's awesome. I'm going to have to check out this podcast episode. I also want to check out that book. And I love learning about the science behind manifestation too, because there is so much. And I truly believe us hearing each and every one of our stories helps really ingrain those beliefs in the subconscious, because there's an emotional tie to them. So thank you for sharing that. Again, if you are listening to the podcast, you have some manifestation stories and you want to share them on the podcast, please, please, please message me on Instagram, or you can email me at info@manifestingmoneypodcast.com. Alrighty, let's get into my beautiful, amazing bestie. I'm so grateful that you are not only tuning into this podcast, but get to be in the energy of me and my best friend, Sky Bonfante. We've been friends for about, oh my gosh, like 5 years. We met when I was going to school for makeup, and I did her makeup. She was an alumni, and in that moment, I was like, oh my goodness, can we please be best friends? And I'm going to link a video here for those of you who are not watching on Spotify. I think you're going to want to check this out, because this is literally the first time we hung out in person doing each other's makeup. Cringe! It's so cringe and cute, but I just love our relationship, because we have always been operating at the same frequency. And if you are somebody who has friends that no matter what time in your life or where it is that you're at, that they are not only there for you mentally, emotionally, but they also really invest in seeing you, whether you're on the whole different side of the town or a whole different state, Sky and I have always been operating at the same frequency. In this podcast episode, we talk about work-life balance, the correlation of friends being soulmates just as much as our partners are. We talk about watching each other evolve, how our whole lives have been flipped upside down in the past year. And I truly believe it's because our Saturns are in return. All my astrology people, please help validate this. And last but not least, we talk about really allowing ourselves to receive and be more in our feminine energy opposed to our masculine. Reminder again that there is a video on Spotify if you're listening to this and you want to watch it. But without further ado, let's get right to it.
One.
Hi, we're here again.
Okay. Hello. So wait, where are you moving to?
So it's so funny, but we are moving literally a block away.
Oh, cool.
So I'm obviously still in LA, but the current situation that we're in, long story short, we have to get out by the end of August and we were not prepared. Like, I know. So my lease was supposed to be through the end of January. Mm. But the property manager is selling the unit back to the apartment company. So they're like, hey, you guys got to get out. Like, you have, it's been about a week now. So I'm like, okay, well, we got to figure something out. We found a place. You met Carly, one of my roommates. Her and I have been on it. We do not play. We're planners. Like,
y'all are the masculine energy, always getting stuff done.
Too much. But I want to get into like how I've been trying to step into more of my divine feminine energy. But right now, masculine is active. Because it's funny. When I went home for the 4th of July, I met up with Angelina.
Oh, I'm so happy to see you two together.
I know. We met up and her and I, we went to Por Favor in Virginia Beach. Aww. And we sat and talked for, it felt like hours, in a good way. Yeah. But her and I had coffee and we really just talked about like turning on our divine feminine energy. And I told her, I was like, I've never done that. And she's like, I had never done it either until like I did. And she was like, you need to, because you're going to unlock so much more of your own potential. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to coach me through it. Throw me in, coach.
No, really. She is in her feminine right now.
I know. I'm like, teach me your ways.
She's out there getting flying places. I say, bro, we really need to be doing this.
And just honestly, like, I don't know, just people, because I'm so engaged with my divine masculine energy that I'm always, I guess you could just say very assertive and very prepared. When she walked into the room, it was just this light energy. And I was like, I need to like tune into that, because I used to be like more of that lighter energy. And I feel like lately I'm just like, what's the plan? Here's the plan.
Yeah, and I wonder if work has something to do with it too, because you stepped into like a management role where you have to be that person.
Oh my goodness, yes. And boy, has it been a crazy ride. But I'm learning to engage my divine feminine, and it's been a ride. But yeah, definitely my position at work, having more of that managerial role, has made me switch my mindset to like very divine masculine. But I've been finding a little bit of balance since being back home from Virginia, and it's been easier-ish.
It's always a reset being with family. And
I
always think that I'm from Virginia. I know it's like the weirdest thing ever, but maybe it's because my adulthood was there.
Yeah, no, I truly feel like it. I feel like you are, because that's where I met you. And I was like, oh, childhood friend, even though it's only been like 5 years, right?
I think. Oh, that's so weird to think about. I don't want to say numbers because I feel like we're having birthdays. Okay, we're both 27.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, there's something that happens when you're 27 astrology-wise. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No, it's 1,000%. And that's kind of why I told you before we started recording, I was like, preparing to be 27, I knew a shift was going to come. I felt it a few days leading up to my birthday, actually even a few weeks leading up to my birthday. But something about 27, I'm like, oh, this is going to be a fun one.
Yeah. Wait, I think it's something about Saturn, your Saturn return.
Yeah.
Oh, that makes so much sense, because literally my whole world has been flipped upside down.
Upside down. Oh, that's the best way to describe it. Like,
chills.
And you know, the thing about it too is I feel like you and I have been through so many different lifetimes.
Yeah, and versions of ourselves.
Yes, that like, aww, we have a firm understanding of what a constant is. But like, once I hit the wall of 27, I was like, just maintain. But it's definitely turned my world upside down. So many new lessons. I'm looking at life so differently. Now, I don't know if you can relate, but like your perspective on how you like handle certain scenarios, like certain, how you're handling certain traumas, like so different.
Yeah. And just learning, I'm learning how to hold space at a whole different capacity.
Yes.
Like, not only for like my friends, but also like my family and myself. And
yeah,
I also have really been detaching from taking anything personal, literally anything personal. So that's been really amazing to release, but it's also like a lot of work.
Wait, no, so, I love that. Good for you, because that detachment is difficult when you are such a caring and loving and like you care about other people. So like the fact that you're practicing that detachment, like that's massive and a big shift.
Yeah. And I feel like I'm like the past few years I've been inner child, even since I got to Virginia, literally just even getting to Virginia was such a big deal for me because I got out of my hometown and it was play. And now I feel like I'm in my motherly phase where I'm being the mother to my inner child, and it's so beautiful, but it's also like so hard.
Yeah, no, 1000%. I love hearing that. Wait, that's so beautiful, Anita.
Yeah, thank you. But okay, what has been the biggest flip for you?
Biggest flip for me, like career wise or personal, like what direction are we going?
Since you turned 27.
Since I've turned 27, I think, oh, that's a loaded question, because I have so many different aspects of, like, the shift, and I would say the biggest thing is how I handle, like, extrinsic factors in my life. Like, when I lived in San Diego, I moved to San Diego in 2021, yes, in 2021. So I can't even do like simple math right now, but I was like in a whole different mindset. Like, I feel like I was very nurturing to myself and chasing my dreams. I was a little bit more in my selfish era where I was able to process things at a slower pace. And I think you can relate that San Diego in general, it's just a very slow paced environment where you're able to do that. Once I moved to LA, and then once I turned 27, everything's a lot faster. So now you have to be quicker. You have to like, make decisions a lot faster. And then I think stepping into my, you know, manager role, I also had to have that same mindset. So being 27, my main thing has been, how can I keep that same calm and ease that I had while living in San Diego, but doing it in a faster paced environment where decisions have to be made like ASAP? So I think the biggest shift is like, how do I maintain my peace, maintain my balance and my calmness while being surrounded by things that are not that at all? So that's been the biggest shift for me, because even coming from Virginia, it's a very slow pace environment. There's no sense of urgency unless it's applied to yourself or your family's applying it to you. So turning 27 while living in one of the busiest cities in the United States, I think I've really had to learn how to keep that balance.
Oh, I just want to cry. I'm so happy.
I know. Honestly, I love it. It's just, it's been the craziest journey and I love it, but it's been crazy.
You know what's crazy what you just said?
Like, go ahead, tell me.
Well, it's, I think what you said about when you move to a fast-paced environment, you have to process things faster.
Yeah.
But I just want to commend you for even doing that and acknowledging that, because I don't think a lot of people even one, acknowledge the fact that when you are going to a faster place that you have to process things faster.
Yeah.
And with those decisions, because that's huge. But I also think that most people don't take the time to process, even if it's just like small in between, you know what I mean? I think it's just onto the next. And it's just so beautiful. I got chills and it just makes me want to ball my eyes up.
Honestly, and you can relate, like you went from San Diego, so you can relate. Mm-hmm. Like San Diego has the city, it has that fast pace to an extent. But at the end of the day, San Diego is the most beautiful, most chill place. But then you move to New York. And I couldn't even imagine, because New York and LA are so different. But we both like honed in on ourselves in San Diego and built, I think, a really solid foundation. And then we moved to big cities and everything changed for us internally, externally. So that is like, I don't know. I guess I wasn't prepared for it. But once I stepped into like, I don't want to say a new life, but like a new time in my life, a new chapter. I was like, I'm either going to swim or I'm going to sink. So I better start learning to swim.
Yeah, for real. When you're in that environment, you have to learn, because it's literally like a survival.
Yeah.
But then I think also just finding those pockets, like even with San Diego thing, like the days just felt so long. They felt like 24 hours just from when the sun's up and when the sun goes down.
Right.
And I always thought that was super weird. I was like, dang, I already did like 4 main events and now I'm bored. And I just hated being bored. I could not be bored.
And that's where you and I can relate, is that we're constantly like, okay, did that off the checklist. What's the next thing on the checklist? And the next thing is like hang out with friends. And it's like, wait, my checklist is literally full of like anything because I don't want to like be bored.
Yeah. And so that's something that I'm consciously working on, is allowing myself to be bored.
Mm-hmm.
And even in San Diego, there were nights where I would feel that, like, FOMO, like, okay, I need to do something. But then I would just like consciously sit in it, and I would actually sit on my floor in my, I love that apartment so much.
I know what you're talking about. I know, I remember.
And I would take my blanket from my bed, my comforter, and I would put it on the floor, and I would get my journal. And I would, like a little kid, you know how little kid plays on the floor?
Yeah.
And I would just sit there with no music, no phone, and just like be there. And I think that was like when I, like, because that was my first time ever living alone too. So I would just like sit around. I'm like, literally nobody knows what I'm doing.
Yes. I want to, you know what, Anita? I want to talk about that a little bit. And I want to dig into that, because not only, like, I know you lived with Alicia for your first apartment, second apartment. Mm. But I remember when you moved into, you know, downtown, I was like, I'm so proud of her for achieving this amazing goal that I know was planted in your heart for that reason, like to be able to have those kind of moments. But when I moved to San Diego, I moved into a roommate situation, but that roommate like was never there. So I essentially lived alone and wouldn't like see another human within my living space for like 8 months at a time.
Wow.
So having those grounding moments where you're home, you're living your dream life, but not yet where you want to be in your dream life, if that makes sense, where you can like sit down and be like, okay, let me set these intentions mentally in an environment where I have that peace and be able to like manifest, journal, like, I think I journaled the most in San Diego. Like I'm kind of ashamed to admit that I don't journal as much as I used to. Mm-hmm. But I have a new way that I manifest and that I sent those intentions now.
But I knew you would. I knew you'd say that.
But in San Diego, I was journaling. I was constantly like going to the beach, sitting, putting my feet in the sand, grounding. I'm definitely in my ascending era right now. But like San Diego was that, you know, San Diego was that place to be like, okay, let me set that solid foundation. I'm setting my intention. And together, I feel like we were able to do that a lot of times, even just you and I together, but like having that moment by yourself, so many moments by yourself to be able to really do that, I think is insane. I'm so proud of the growth that you've endured and everything.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I know, both of us. And that's why I'm so grateful for too, because
that's always like a big subconscious fear. I was like, what if my friends and I go on a different path?
Yeah.
It's literally one of my biggest subconscious fears. But it's also like the process of like, gives you so much gratitude for each conversation you get to have, for each hangout, for each trip, for each like, you know, like hangout session, even if you're going to go get coffee and stuff like that. Because like, this is our normal chatting. We literally just chat like this and people, you know what I mean? I'm like, I know. We need to record this.
I know. And part of me is like, we're going to go on so many tangents, but like, this is authentically, like, these are the conversations that you and I have all the time. And I think there's something so beautiful about that. Like, yeah, we talk about manifesting. Yeah, we talk about dreams and like chasing those goals. But like, that is our reality. And it's not just something that we do when the camera's on. Like, this is really our life and this is like our real conversation. So I think it's like really good because in a way that's a set, or that's setting intentions, and that's us manifesting is like, you know, talking about those things together. And I'm really happy that we're finally, you know, doing this. This is a, like, we've been talking about doing this for so long.
I know, right? So, and it's a long time coming too, because I'm releasing the all or nothing mentality. Mm-hmm. That's also been really hard. Because I was like, no, let's do it in person since we're going to be, you know, on our trip. And I was like, no, that's the all or nothing in mentality again, Anita. Let's just do what we can with what we have.
Yeah.
The time that we have. And I think just releasing this all or nothing mentality also has really been helping me, like, enjoy the ride so much. Because even though I did manifest so many things, mm-hmm. I think it was like, I did this. And it was like, one, so much pressure on myself. But I also feel like it wasn't just me. You know what I mean? It was just so, it was like God, universe, source. It was my angels giving me all the signs. It was my friends who supported me, all of my, you know, fans and podcast listeners.
Yeah.
And I think I just really needed to like detach from everything. To see that, because I was like putting so much pressure on myself to just, because I gotta do this, you know?
Oh my goodness, you and I are literally the same human, just in different parts of the United States. Oh. No, literally, that resonates with me so deeply because, you know, I keep relating back to San Diego, but I compare my life here compared to San Diego a lot because, you know, there was a big shift. When I was in San Diego, I was freelancing. I was working multiple makeup jobs, like where it's a very independent role. Being here in LA, I now manage a team, and I've had to kind of switch my mindset from like, I made that goal, I did that goal, I achieved that, to now we are doing it together. And like, if we hit sales goal, or if we hit, you know, some goal that I set for my specific clinic, it's no longer like I did that. It's we did that together. Even if I didn't have, or even if one person didn't have their hand in it as much, it's like they were still a part of that. So shifting from I did it to we did it has been a huge shift for me as well. So I'm happy, again, we resonate.
I got chills when you said that. You know, another thing that has been coming up for me is just thinking about like soulmates. I was like, I think friends are soulmates.
Oh, I agree. I agree 1,000%.
I was like, because the closest people that I have in my life are 1,000 miles away, always.
Always.
You know what I mean? Somehow we end up intertangling, not only just you, but like Long and then Angelina.
It's just Angelina. So crazy. The Angelina thing was what solidified it for me, because the fact, and we're talking about Angelina on this, I love this. Her ears are probably itching. So I knew Angelina back in middle school. And like back in middle school when, you know, nobody had cell phones. Like if somebody moved away, you didn't hear from them ever again. So the fact that like I met you years later, like so like in my adult life, and then you brought Angelina back into my life, I was like, yo, there's some kind of connection between us that's more than just the physical being. Like, we are connected by, like, soul ties. We are soulmates in that way. I just think it's so, it just solidified that feeling for me.
Yeah, and, like, all the romantic comedies of how people meet the loves of their lives. That's how I met each and every one of you.
I was like, oh my gosh, I really want to be her friend.
Seriously. Like, I'll go home and I'll tell my sister, sis. Like, I just met the most amazing. Like, we would get so excited because, like, it felt so lonely because my sister and I mean, I'm very grateful we had each other, but we're like, we don't fit in. We're literally like, nobody is operating at the same frequency as us. And so when we did find those people, we would just get, like, super excited and, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's so similar to finding, like, you know, when they talk about in the books and the movies, when you find the one, you'll know they're the one. Like, that applies to friendships as well. Like, when you find your people, you just know that those are your people. You don't have to force it. You're not, like, holding more weight than, it's just you guys equally show up at the same frequency. And it's, like, it's insane. And you feel it, you know? You're like, those are my people.
Yeah. So everybody listening, make sure that you stay open to soulmates being friends too, because it's true.
Yeah. And you never know when they're going to walk into your life. And that's why it's so important just to stay so genuine to who you are as an individual, because you're going to attract the same type of individuals.
Yeah. And that's the thing too, because if I didn't go to makeup school, which was really scary for me, I wouldn't have met you.
I know. I'll never forget. I'll never forget that. Anita, I love our story.
Wait, I was looking at all of Sarah's pictures and videos the other day. And I was like, oh man, I really miss, like, watching her do makeup and the school.
I know. I thought about when I went home for the fourth. I was like, I need to stop by the makeup school and say hi. You know, when you go home and you're trying to make time for everybody, you just don't have enough time in the world. But
yeah.
I know, I see her and I'm like, if it wasn't for her, like, so much of my career mindset, like, it just would have been a little different. So the fact that, like, she was able to help inspire, like, who I am as a, in my career, and also has opened the doors for so many opportunities to meet people like you, like, yeah, I look back and I'm like, what a beautiful decision I made to go to that school and meet Sarah.
Yeah, she is an and you know what, one thing I loved about her, every time between classes she would go on a really big trip.
I know. Oh my goodness. And she's still doing it with two beautiful babies and with Glenn. I'm like,
they're so cute.
I know.
So, okay, one question.
Okay.
Well, wait, first I want to commend you because you have always made time for everybody no matter what you were doing. So I just want to, like, point that out because I'm like, I learned that from you. Like, for me, I was like, well, I don't have time or this or that. But I think I also learned of, like, one, really prioritizing, like, time with friends and not just, like, hanging out in a group. I mean, it was always fun when we were in a group. Mm-hmm. But I think just prioritizing one-on-one time,
yeah,
hanging out with friends. And so, like, it wasn't until I got super busy, I was like, dang, how did she do that? So how did you do it? I'm, like, super curious. Like, how do you prioritize your friendships and relationships?
You know, I think it's just a natural thing. You make time for the things that you really genuinely want. You know, we all have 24 hours in a day. And I've always prioritized the things that are very important. Like, at the time, going to school, when I was going to school, and then going to work and achieving the things I needed for me to feel whole and be whole, so that when I had downtime or when I had days off, I was able to, you know, be whole and show up whole for the people in my life. So friends, family, and relationships. Because, you know, like I said, we all have 24 hours in a day, and I'm not perfect at this. It's so funny that you applaud me for this, because this is something that I feel like I've struggled with, and I've even talked about, like, through therapy sessions, like, how can I dedicate my time and have enough time for everything that I want to achieve? But when I look back and I see, you know, I make time for my family, I make time for a FaceTime call with my mom on Sundays, seeing my sister after a very long, tiring day at work. And when I look at that, I'm like, you make time for the things that you really want. And, even if you feel like you have to work a little harder at, like, you know, not turning on a personality or turning on, but, like, there have been times where I've had a really long work week. Like, I'm tired. I want to go home, make dinner, and go to sleep. But I'm like, you know what? I need to go make time for my sister. Let me hit her up. And even if I'm like, let's go take a drive down the PCH, listen to music. That's time that we spend together. And, you know, those are some times where I've had to work a little harder to do it. And then there are other times where I'm like, every Sunday, we're going to play tennis. When we play tennis, I'm dedicating that hour to my sister, but now my roommates. They've also been involved. And that's going to be the hour where I'm giving you my full undivided attention, because I genuinely want to make sure that you're good, you know, that you're, you know, happy, that, you know, what's going on in your life. Let me get updates. And I think we all live such busy lives that even if it's an hour, even if it's like a quick text or phone call or FaceTime, that means a lot to people. And I think it's just really important to be able to prioritize that. But when I look back and I think when I was working 40 hours a week and going to school 24 hours, I still made time for my family. I still made time for my friends. And it was natural because that was just something that was very important to me. Even if it was a little harder some days, it's like I wanted to do that because I value my friendships. I value my career. And I really just wanted to make time for all of it. I don't know if that kind of like answers that question fully, but it's just something where I'm like, you know, career, chasing my dreams, self-care, sister, family, friends, like all of that. It's like, I have no choice. Those are my priorities. Those are things I care about. So I'm going to nourish and allow them to flourish and make sure that they're healthy relationships along the way.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I just feel everything that you just said is like what I'm doing, what I'm in the season of learning too. Because even if you're someone listening to this right now and you're like, oh my gosh, I really want to work on doing that, you can also learn it too. And I think that's the season why God, universe, source has like really slowed me down, especially because like I think when I'm like climbing the bar of like where I want to be, it's like people are getting older. You know what I mean? People are, you know, like physically, health-wise. And so now that I'm like slowing down and like what you said, like talks with my mom when I get home, it's like super late, but she doesn't go to sleep unless I'm home.
Yeah.
Oh. Wait. It does drive me crazy though, because I'll be like, okay, I'm going to bed. Good night. Okay. Well, do you remember? But I have to consciously remind myself of like, okay, wait, like, I know it's like triggering to me because like, one, I'm like mental, I need to get 8 hours of sleep, blah, blah, blah. But it's like surrendering in those moments of like, oh, that was actually really nice and cute.
Oh, I know. You know, value those moments. Like, just one thing I've noticed and one thing living in San Diego taught me is whatever moment that you're in right then and there, just be fully in it. Whether it's through a text conversation, whether it's through like actually sitting and talking with someone, or whether it's like, you know, being at work and fully engaged in your work, like just be fully in that moment, no matter how long that timeline is. And as long as you're in it, like mentally 100%, it's like, that was a really important moment in your life. Like that 1 second, you're never going to get back. That 15 minutes, that hour, you're never going to get back. So it's like, as long as you're fully engaged in it, it's like that holds so much value. Another thing too, I think, is making time for the people that are really important to you and that you truly genuinely value, but also knowing when someone maybe isn't worth that energy and like respecting that, and then realizing that it's okay that you don't have to prioritize that friendship, that relationship anymore, but also filtering out those, I think, has allowed me to welcome in a lot more relationships that align more with who I am, and business relationships as well. So knowing your boundaries, knowing, you know, when someone is worth that time or something is worth your time, I think allows you to prioritize the important things too.
Yeah. And that's a hard part too. It's like, kind of goes back to like not taking anything personal. It's like, once you're aware of it, you're like, gosh, darn it.
You know, it's funny you say that, because at work, it's I need a shirt that says it, because my team all knows. And they're like, Sky does not mean it. Like, this is not a personal attack on you. It's all business. They're like, but how does she do it so calmly that I like
I respect her for it.
But like, healthy boundaries are so important.
Yeah. And they can be learned too, again, for everybody who's listening to this, because I think it's, especially in society, I think we're just so programmed to believe that we need to like do everything for everybody. Like, if I really want to help my mom or help my audience, like, I need to do X, Y, and Z. But it's like, really filling up your own cup and setting mm-hmm. those boundaries yeah. is like the number one way that you can help people. And I think it's like one of those things that people can say all day long and over again. Yeah. But it's not until you're like actually in it that you're like, oh.
Well, like I said, you have to show up to any friendship, any job, any relationship full. You have to be and fully understand who you are as an individual and feel good about who you're presenting yourself as mm-hmm. And what you bring to the table before you can show up for others. So I think that's the most important thing is, you know what you bring to the table, know how you handle feelings, emotions, and set those boundaries. And then when a good friend or a lover or when a really great job opportunity presents itself, you'll know when it's aligned. And then yeah. you prioritize your time for it. It's just like a natural flow. You just got to get into that flow. That was such a hippie thing to say. Just gotta get in the flow.
You do have to get in the flow, though. And what flow to me is like subconsciously programmed. Like once it's subconsciously mm-hmm. programmed, it will just yeah. come naturally. But like it does take a lot of conscious work.
Yeah.
And oh man, I was going somewhere with this and I lost it. It flew away.
Sorry, another tangent.
Okay, wait. One question. Do you ever get FOMO?
You know, I've never sat and thought about that. So I'm going to say not really. I know, I mean, I'm sure there's definitely been times in my life and definitely when I was younger where I'm like, oh, I want that or I want to do that or I want to be, you know, where they're at, if that's kind of what you're referring to. I don't really know. Yeah, but now I'm at a place in my life where I'm like, I'm where I'm supposed to be. Mm-hmm. If I want to do something, like, I would prioritize the time for it. Or if mm-hmm. I want to hang out with someone, if I see a group of friends hanging out and I'm like, I want to go hang out with them, I'm not like, oh, I'm so sad that I'm not with them. I'll just be like, hey, what's up?
Yeah.
Y'all want to hang? And if, like, you know, I don't want to say that I, in my adult life or in more recent years, like I don't really get FOMO because I believe that I'm where I'm supposed to be mm-hmm. at most times. No, I can't really say that I feel FOMO. I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be. And I truly feel that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and that probably goes back to like being present in each moment.
Yeah, totally. Totally. Like, if I have like the fear of missing out of like being somewhere or being with someone, it's like, you know, if I'm supposed to be with that person or if I'm supposed to be at that place with these people or if I'm supposed to be working that job that I want that I don't mm-hmm. have yet, like it'll come to me if it's meant to be.
Mm.
And if it's not with me, then I respect that as well. Like just respecting wherever I'm at in life is kind of where I'm at right now.
Oh, that's what I was going to say. It came back.
There it is.
About, like, being self-aware of, like, I think a lot of people are trying to, like, fix themselves so much.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, like, really being self-aware of, like, your, I don't know if it's, like, triggers or habits or whatever I'm trying to say. But,
yeah,
like, for example, if my mom is talking to me and I haven't eaten yet, I'll be like, okay, mom. Please let me just eat first because I know that I'm going to get cranky.
Yeah.
So stuff like that. Like just, I think it's also like a responsibility for us to look at ourselves and be introspective of like, okay, I don't have to change everything. Like it's not that I can't hold space. It's just like, I got to learn
yeah.
to prioritize myself and fill my cup up in that kind of way. And communicate it.
A thousand percent. Like I think the best, like it's so funny and I keep referring to my career, but it's like a big part of my life right now.
Yeah,
but like
huge.
When I show up for my team, I have to be on. Like it's inevitable that I have to like if they need me, I'm there for them.
Mm-hmm.
But like sometimes I'm not fully there for myself in those moments. Like there are times when they're like
Sky, we really need you. This is a 911. Can you be available? And I'm like going through an anxiety attack at home, like not on the clock, but I have to like be self-aware enough to be like, okay, I'm going through something mentally myself, but I have to like take my, be self-aware, understand and lean into that feeling, but then also realize that there's something that I prioritize on my day to day that's not how I'm feeling right in this moment. And like, let me kind of turn on and be there for them. And that allows me to kind of flip the switch and engage in that fully. And then usually like once I help them with something, I'm like, oh, my anxiety's gone. Like I'm just not distracted, but you just become self-aware, you know, you have to like know how you're feeling in specific moments and know that sometimes those feelings are real feelings. And sometimes it's just a moment that you're going to feel that and then it's going to pass, you know, I don't know if that kind of aligns with the topic discussion we were having, but
yeah, that does. Wait, I want to talk about that more.
Yeah. Cause self-awareness is for me personally, the most important thing that a person can be, like being self-aware, but not enough people dig deep into what that means.
And yeah, I know we're like, we're detaching from taking things personally, but I think being super introspective of like, how did this like attract in my life, or, you know, situations or feelings or what traumas are like triggering X, Y, and Z is also like, not that you're taking everything personally, but it's also helping us be super like aware of our own feelings and emotions and things that are stored and we don't even know it.
Yeah. And I think so many people, and you brought up earlier saying that people always like, they're trying to fix themselves. I want to change that verbiage a little bit and say like, I think more people need to focus on healing the parts that they feel like they need to heal. I actually have this book. It's right back here, to Jay Shetty.
Oh, is that the five? What's it called?
The 8 Rules of Love.
I gotta read it.
I've recommended this book to just about anybody that that blinks in front of me. I'm like, you need this book. It's about love, obviously, but I think there are so many great takeaways from it. And it helps you kind of, it teaches you how to bask in solitude and how to become more self-aware of what you as an individual feel, what you want, what you need. And then as the book goes on, it starts to help you develop a mindset of being self-aware of other people's needs as well. In that sense. So I honestly, I love it. It's helped me career-wise, relationship-wise, friendship-wise. So self-awareness is so important.
Like, so bold letters. Bold letters. Instagram quote. Boom. Do you think it's helped you get into your feminine more reading that book? Or what kind of triggered it?
This book, or like my stepping into my more divine feminine?
Like, what triggered the fact that you're like, okay, I need to step more in my feminine
energy? I would say I hit a wall with burnout. Okay, we're about to get deep right here. Hold on, let me get my coffee.
Where's my coffee? Okay.
When I moved to LA, it was a huge culture shock. Culture shock. And looking back, I'm like, oh, I'm so happy that it was. And that I've been able to experience that and be able to find grounding after the fact. But I came in like focused on my career, ready to take action. I was offered a really great opportunity before moving to LA that I accepted. I was really like in a hustle mindset. Like, I was ascending. I'm like, this is my dream. This is my goal. I'm chasing that goal. Got this job. Applied to my current position or my current company that I have now, and I got that job. So then I left the last job. I was in hustle mode. As time went on, I noticed that I was dedicating so much of my time towards my dreams, my goals, ascending my career, that it got to a point where it was starting to affect other aspects of my life. I'm not going to say in a negative way, but it definitely wasn't always a positive. And I did like go through a big shift in my like relationship where I'm like,
I'm too much in my divine masculine and I'm too focused on my dreams and my goals that I can't relax almost. I can't like enjoy that balance. And that's why I my heart kind of melts when you say that you applaud me for finding balance for everything in my life. Cause me being who I am, I'm like, that wasn't always the case.
Mm-hmm.
I talked about it with my therapist recently, actually, where she's like, we have all these different balls and we're juggling every ball. She goes, the more balls that you add into that, you know, some are inevitably going to fall to the ground and you have to just accept that you weren't able to catch that ball.
Mm-hmm.
And I think having that realization and her saying that to me, I'm like, I have to let some of these balls fall. And that to me was me stepping into my divine feminine and just realizing that, okay, I have my career, I have my dreams, I have my goals, I have the next level that I want to achieve. I can't focus on all of those at the same time. So stepping into my divine feminine energy has allowed me to welcome in, you know, love, welcome in more time spent with friends and like allowing people to kind of lift that weight off my shoulders that was my divine masculine, if that makes sense.
Yeah, 1,000%. Are you speaking my language?
That was 1,000%. Like, it took me dropping all my balls to be like, okay, is somebody going to, like, can I pick these back up? Which ones am I going to prioritize to start juggling again? And then, of course, like, having that conversation with Angelina, I was like, oh, you're prioritizing, like, we had a basket of balls. I'm like, I was like, your balls are different from my balls.
Yours are bigger.
I want to juggle some of those. So I think, like, you know, stepping out of my hustle mode just a little bit. Like, I'm an Aries with a Sag moon. Like, I'm going to be in hustle mode.
I love it.
But I'm a Libra ascending. Ascending. So I'm like, balance. Got to find balance. So now I'm stepping into that where I'm like, let me balance some of that divine feminine and allow, you know, myself to sit back, relax, and appreciate when, you know, I don't have to be in hustle mode. It's been hard, but I'm working.
Yeah, it is hard, and you're doing a good job. And I'm so proud of you for sharing that and being vulnerable. And I just want to let you know that me personally, the time that we get together is enough. Like, it literally fills my cup up, like, whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. And
I'm going to cry. You know, I will cry.
You're like me when, remember when you brought me coffee on my, right before I left San Diego?
Oh my gosh. Yes.
And I was like a little girl. I was like, and there's people in the lobby, like, what's wrong with her? And I don't pretty cry. I like ugly cry. I like, whoosh, like, I'm such a squealer.
I am a ugly crier. Like, when I cry, I will purposefully like cover my face because I'm like, I can't be this vulnerable right now.
I value
it was a cup of coffee and it's like, okay, whatever, a cup of coffee, but like, I genuinely was just like so happy in that moment for you that I'm like, I would have brought you like a million flowers, or like I would have like done anything just to be able to like come and like hug you one last time before you left. Look, I'm about to freaking cry again, Anita. Is that like, I was just so proud of you, and yeah, it was a cup of coffee, but just being able to like come and like have that moment with you, it was so valuable, you know?
Yeah.
And then not being able to see you again, like, for months later, it's like, yeah, we have our calls and our texts, and I see you on social media, but nothing compares to that quality, like, second together, you know?
Yeah. And we always get together around my birthday. That's so crazy.
Oh, I know. Wow. So I love a celebration.
She does. She is there. And I really appreciate that.
Yes.
But, yeah, just stuff like that. I just think, you know, that's why I'm like really fascinated with production and just TV shows. And like, I've kind of been releasing a lot of like what I've only seen myself do to like dream bigger. But also what you said, step in the feminine of like, how can God, universe, source take care of this for me?
Totally.
So that I'm not always like physically, I have to do this. I have to do this.
Yes, exactly. And you know, that was one thing for me is
there's little things that I've been doing to step into that divine feminine. And it's so funny because they're so small and people are probably like, okay, that's you stepping into a divine feminine. But yes, it is. When I'm somebody that's like, let me do it. I'll do it. Yes. I'm a very yes type of person. Mm-hmm. At work, the FedEx guy will come and drop off like big packages. Like when I do my Amazon shipments or orders, they'll come and they'll drop it off. I used to be the one that's like, oh, I got it. Let me take it. I'll walk it to the back.
Oh my gosh, I'm picturing this.
And I have like these big boxes and it's like this big like macho man's like carrying it and then handing it off to me. And I'm like,
oh,
I've stopped doing that. I've stopped completely just stopped doing that. And they'll walk in and I'm like, you can go ahead and just lay it in the back, you know, and I'm allowing. Well, like some people are like, okay, like that's their job. But like, no, like I've always been the person that's like my divine masculine. I'm like, let me do it. I got it. Mm-hmm. I can do it by myself. So now it's like, go ahead, you can lay it in the back, or making a joke and they'll say like, no, it's okay. I got it. I'm like, what? You don't think I can handle that? You don't think I can hold it? Allowing them, allowing them to just do it. Like that's me stepping into my divine feminine because I'm such a, I'll do it. Let me do it. Mm-hmm. Now I'm like, you know, I'll let other people do what they need to do. Yeah. Even if it like benefits me a little bit.
Yeah.
And that's even the if thing it's too, carrying people, my Amazon packages back.
Yeah. People like to do that too. They like to feel of service, especially jobs like that. I mean, like, I'm sure there's like some really hard times in that job of like FedEx or whatever, but it's like context, TV show, he comes in. Sees this beautiful girl, you can put it back there, and he's like, oh, okay, let me be a service.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Everything in my mind is always like a TV show, and I'm like, wow. It's like so much easier to see it from the outside looking in.
Yeah. You know? Totally, 1,000%. Or like even just somebody holding a door. Like, okay, like I would always like when I'm walking to Starbucks, somebody would hold the door open for me and I grab the door and I'm like, thank you. And I'm like holding my own door, even though they're holding it too. Yeah, now I've just, right. I've gotten into the habit. Like if somebody opens a door for me, thank you. And I walk. Why was that so hard for me a year ago?
I love these little examples, by the way. I'm like a very visual person, so these help my brain so much.
I'm the same way. It's like saying them out loud. I don't say these things out loud usually. I'm like, oh, I have been doing that, but it's like so small. But to me it's massive because it's me letting go of my need to control or my need to do things for myself. And little gestures like that, it's like my safe zone of stepping into my divine feminine. So I'll take it. I'll do it. Yeah. I'll continue to do so.
Yeah. And the other thing I was going to say about the relationship is like, you've attracted what you're emotionally available for.
Yep.
And then it's like, now that you're stepping into this, it's like, holy guacamole. I can only like imagine what's going to come in. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I'm definitely setting my intention towards that. Like, I know that right now I'm going through a very transitional period of so many different aspects of my life, like learning about love, learning about friendships, learning about like more how to better my career. So it's like, as long as I keep this balance of divine masculine, divine feminine, stay open minded, keep my heart open, it's like, I'm going to be okay. I know like come my 30s, I'm going to thrive because right now I'm putting in the work at 27
to be able to accept.
Yes.
I'm excited for our 30s. I already know that we're going to just have the best time ever.
I'm speaking it. I know we are. I cannot wait.
That's the thing too. I was like, okay. One, I'm just taking the time and energy to like acknowledge the fact of like, I've always known I was going to be big.
Yeah.
I've always known like a big personality, celebrity, and I think I was just always trying to chase that.
Yeah.
And now when I'm in a place where I'm like, oh, like that has just always been in me. I just haven't seen it yet.
Yeah. Or you weren't in the environment of which you felt comfortable enough to be that, or you didn't have access to be that person. So, I mean, you know, from coast to coast, from job to job, from friendship to friendship, it's like you step more into that. That person that you've always meant to be, always been meant to be, you know, like you are able to flourish in that way. So I know
right now. I'm where I'm at, and I'm very proud of my growth, and I'm very proud of who I've become as a person and who I can present myself. But I know my 30s, untouchable. Like,
untouchable. I'm
superwoman. Can't wait.
Okay, we're wrapping up here. Is there anything you want to share, just heavy on your heart, for anybody who's been listening to this? So we've talked about filling our cups up, juggling balls.
Yep. All of them. All of them.
Stepping into our feminine Saturn return.
Yeah.
I think the move is also a really big thing for you, too. That's crazy.
Yeah. The most important takeaway I can really say is just be patient. You know, I've been through so many different waves in my life where it's like, as long as you stay patient through a stressful situation, through a difficult time, stay patient when it comes to love, stay patient when it comes to chasing your dreams, and you just continue to work really hard, it's already yours. You know, you can't rush or control the fact that you want something to come in quicker, or that you want somebody to be in your life, or that you want a position. Like, if you set the intention, if you work hard and you're patient, you're able to understand that that's yours and it's going to happen. You know, if that makes sense. Like, that's kind of where I'm at in my life right now, is just be patient. Be patient, same. Be calm, be open-minded, and just accept things for what they are. It's already mine. I'm just waiting patiently.
For real. I feel like we said this like 2 years ago, but now we understand it at a whole different level.
Understand it at a whole different level. Patience to move to California. Got to California, but now I'm like, okay, now I'm building. This is a new level of patience and calm that I have to, you know, check into.
Yeah. I think the things that I thought I was going to be doing next year, like God, universe, source, is like 7 years. I was like, 7 years? What the heck? But I'm like, okay, like, I'm just not gonna fight it anymore, you know?
Then if it takes 7 years, be accepting of it, but also know that life changes so quickly and things come in quick. And one thing that you've taught me, Anita, is, you know, when you manifest something, when you set that intention, when you pray for something, you better be prepared, because it's gonna come quick. It's going to be there. You better be ready for it.
I do say that, but it feels so good hearing it from somebody else.
No, you say it, and some, like, it's like embedded in my brain. And I hear you saying it, where it's like, you better be ready. Because if you set that intention, if you pray hard enough, if you are working for it, like, then you better be ready when it presents itself.
I'm so grateful. Okay, where can everybody, if they want to Instagram stalk you, where can they find you?
At Sky Bonfante, SkyBonFante, on Instagram.
I was gonna say, this reminds me of the YouTube video we did and I spelled your last name wrong.
You're like, oh, the YouTube video, you're bringing up, like, YouTube.
We did our first, I think that was the first one I tried to record.
Oh, but my God. We got it up there. It is up there. And you know what? I would be lying if I said I didn't watch it every now and then, just because it's so wholesome. It was so early. It was so early on in our friendship. Like, that was the first time we hung out outside of the makeup school.
You're right.
So, you know what you need to do? Like, we'll have to do a throwback and we'll have to compare that video.
Yeah.
So, like, where we are now. Started from the bottom, now we're here.
Yeah, it's gonna make me throw up watching it, but I'm like, I gotta watch it. It's
so nostalgic. It's so wholesome.
The edits. Alrighty, love. Well, I'm gonna stop the recording, so bye, everybody.
Bye, everyone.
Thank you guys so much for tuning into the Manifesting Money podcast. If this episode resonated with you or shifted your paradigm in any way, shape, or form, please stop what you're doing right now and write us a review. This simple act of kindness helps us get this podcast episode out to as many people as we possibly can. And we also want to know what resonated with you and why. So be sure to join our free Facebook group that you can find in the show notes, or tag us on Instagram. Either way, we love when you're in our energy, and we love rewarding you for listening to the podcast. When you're ready to truly break down your money blocks and learn how to make money work for you, not the other way around, go to the show notes and learn how you can work with us and join our community of people who are making massive shifts in their finances. Thanks again for tuning into this episode, and we cannot wait to share your testimonies. We'll see you in the next episode.